Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The largest trade deal in modern history, the U.S. and 11 other countries agreed on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, today. The deal is a big victory for the Obama administration. It includes countries from Canada to Japan and would affect 40% of the global economy. Ali Velshi hosts Ali Velshi on Target on Al Jazeera America. He's with us from New York. And Ali, this deal came together after a long time, lots of negotiating.
Well, it's been a long time. It's been 8 years of negotiations and a year of really intense stuff. What it means is that 12 countries, not including China, all of which in some fashion touch the Pacific, so Canada, the United States, and a lot of Asian countries, countries that make up about 40% of the world's GDP are now entering a trading bloc. It means the elimination of a whole lot of tariffs and duties. In fact, about 1,800 tariffs that collectively the participating countries have placed on the United States will be lifted. So that's going to allow, at least from the White House's perspective, allow for more exports, which is a real target that President Obama wanted to reach, things like autos and machinery and information technology and chemicals. But it's also got labor unions and Democrats in America concerned that it's going to cost jobs, just like these big trade deals tend to do.
And I want to ask you about that. But first, let's talk about some of the sticking points that really got this right down to the wire. There were some around opening up dairy markets in Canada and Japan and protections for drug makers in the U.S. How did it all shake out in the end?
The big thing around drugs was that brand name drug companies wanted to retain rights to their patents for 12 years. Others wanted 5 years to make generic drugs available. So the deal ultimately reached a very complicated compromise. Drug companies get between 5 to 8 years of exclusivity. A lot of environmental concerns as well in this. And you mentioned dairy. Dairy and sugar were two of the biggest concerns, particularly of Americans, that it'll lower the price of sugar and milk. The Canadian side is less complicated because Canada and the U.S. had the free trade agreement and then NAFTA, so there's less to work out on that front. Also, there are concerns about Japan, which has a history of currency fluctuation. Some Democrats will call it currency manipulation, and they feel that the United States has been lax at penalizing Japan for that and even labeling them as currency manipulators. So there are some valid concerns, and there's still some stuff to iron out, but they have reached a deal.
Okay, well, let's talk about what's going to happen now in Congress, because we've already heard from Republican Senator Orrin Hatch, and by and large, Republicans have been on board with this trade deal, but he has threatened now to withdraw support if protections for drug makers were loosened. And today he's saying that the deal seems to fall woefully short. Let's first talk about what's going on the Republican side and opposition there.
So if you've been following the news on how Congress and the president get along, this one's going to surprise you, because while every last Republican voted against the president on the Iran deal, mostly it's Democrats in Congress who don't like this deal and never have. Republicans have generally favored it, but for those few issues that I just mentioned to you, including the pharmaceuticals. The Republicans were in favor of the longer protections for brand-name pharmaceutical companies. Bottom line, though, is that President Obama has a good deal of Republican support on this. If it made it through Congress, it would be legacy-defining. It'll be next year that Congress votes on this. For the moment, the betting is that it will get through Congress. They'll figure something out with the Republicans.
Well, and meanwhile, on the Democratic side, we've got the presidential candidate Bernie Sanders tweeting today, "I am disappointed but not surprised by the decision to move forward on the disastrous TPP that will hurt consumers and cost American jobs. Wall Street and other big corporations have won again in the Senate. I will do all that I can to defeat the TPP agreement."
Right. Now, Bernie Sanders has always been against this and generally against these trade deals, which fits fairly squarely into his position on the political spectrum as a Democratic socialist. Labor unions are against it. Donald Trump is against it, too, ironically. Hillary Clinton has supported trade deals traditionally. She supported the TPP talks when she was the Secretary of State. But as she is seeing her support amongst labor unions slip, her official position on TPP is still undecided. So she is not taking a major position, but Bernie Sanders staunchly against it, labor unions staunchly against it.
And obviously it becomes political when you start getting the presidential candidates involved. But Ali, if you just talk to economists, is there a consensus about whether this is generally good or bad for the economy, or does it kind of depend on who you ask?
Well, it does depend, but here's what I would say would reflect a good survey of economists across the spectrum. Trade deals are good. They're necessary to reduce tariffs to allow people to specialize in what they're good at and sell it to other countries. They do tend to have the effect of lowering labor rates. So for those labor unions who are worried about jobs going overseas or lowering labor prices, it's not an illegitimate concern.
Ali Velshi, host of Ali Velshi on Target on Al Jazeera America, talking with us about the TPP. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Jeremy.